Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. Today on The Ether, part two of the two-part Luart Community AMA. Let's take a listen.
Gusta, you're next up, sir.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I jumped on the AMA a bit later, so it might have been already addressed. But so, my question, I heard that from now on, there's not going to be team members on the whitelist and minting and whatnot. But what's going to happen to all those NFTs that have been already been minted by the team members or the, let's say, the cousin wallets and whatnot? Because, like, it's happened that also there were people that were chosen for whitelist through the Twitter, the retweets and whatnot, then weren't actually on the list for the whitelist and they weren't able to mint as prize. So, yeah, that's my question. What's going to happen to those NFTs now?
I'll go back to our solution for this. We had to think through this one because obviously, like, we understand there's an issue that people, you know, we shouldn't be minting from the whitelist in general. There are some cases where we were offered the whitelist and we did, and there was cases where we weren't and we still did. So what we're trying to do to just fix this total situation is do a third party audit to figure out, you know, the proper compensation of maybe, you know, the total value of the NFTs minted. But it gets a little bit tricky to figure out, you know, or to see, like, you know, how do we value this current NFT? Is it valued at the floor price? Is it valued at what they were at mint? You know, is it value? Do we track the NFTs that people sold from their mint? What we're going to do to figure this proper compensation to the community is hire an auditing team to figure out all of the metrics behind this. And then, you know, we'll come up with a number, whether it be just returning these NFTs directly. You know, obviously we can't return some because some have been sold, or, you know, coming up with the dollar figure. We'll figure that out through the third party audit. If that answers your question, hopefully.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. Yeah, that was my question. So it's going to be something that will be stated further on from your part and released to the community, I guess, once everything will be ordered.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Gusta, thank you for the question. Next up, we have Deployden. I know Deployden spent a lot of time looking into some of the stuff that's been going on. So, please come with your questions, sir, and, you know, try and keep it civil, please. Thank you.
Of course. Hey, everybody. So I just kind of had one quick question that kind of stems from what Simon, not CEO Simon, other Simon was saying regarding KYC and contracts. Do you guys enforce any type of exclusivity with projects that launch on your platform?
Yeah, in contract, we got 1 month exclusivity for our partners if they agree with it. If they don't, we can just release it. The business model and the whole, like, business structure, it was made with personally, and basically most of the business between project and project is stuck internally with your project. There wasn't any issue
So the reason I ask is in regards to the whole KYC thing. When we were on our first Zoom call and our team has asked what form of KYC do you guys do, the response we actually got was, well, we see you guys on Zoom right now, that's good enough for us, which we started being a little uncomfortable with that. We closer to the date, we then did do that sub, whatever that sub KYC thing. In regards to the contract itself, we were asking about it like a week prior, like, and we got the impression that the contract was being written specifically for us. And we had made it very clear a week prior, like asking about exclusivities, like how does that work? And we were assured no exclusivities. Our contract did have an exclusivity in it. We were told either take it or drop us from the platform. And the exclusivity was not 1 month. It was 3 months. And I know shortly after was we minted on March 21st. I believe it was March 29th. Where Aston put out a statement saying that they do not ask for exclusivities from any project. So what I'm mainly getting at is it even seems internally within your own company that there's a lot of miscommunications and things that are being kind of enforced on projects that even you yourself right now are saying we only ask for a 1 month exclusivity. The only reason we actually got out of our exclusivity is because you guys ended up burning our one of ones. And that was kind of the ask we had out of that to try to basically drop that clause.
Can I take the 29th of March one? So yes, that is on me. That one, I complete miscommunication with the legal team and the new contracts that came in. I was not aware, and I also made known to the team that I wasn't aware of that situation that came on board during that point in time. So during that stage, the exclusivity thing was actually very new. I believe a lot of projects prior to Anarchist were not asked to do so, and it was basically the first. You guys at that stage were the first to. For us to explore this route. I will yes say that the dropping of Anarchist being stated that was wrong on our part for sure. And also, of course, you've been the most aware because you were primary that whole time that doing such also a lot of tension between both Lord and Anarchist, particularly because yes, on my side I was very aggressive in terms of communicating things that I didn't agree upon with you guys, which also added to the heat of the moment and the way things were being said and the calls. Calls or Telegram chat. So yes, during this stage, it's yes, as you said, it's a complete communication breakdown between departments of Lord and myself that was in charge of your project, and hence even later on, even the community when I think I said it in the Galactic Punks chat that we don't have exclusivity. Literally, it's just the communication breakdown between the departments. Therefore, at this stage, we didn't even know what was going on between them.
Okay, yeah, I guess my last question is, because a lot of the talk has been up regarding the minted NFTs by the previous developer, Alex, and it sounded like the general consensus on that was either buying them back and returning them or something like that. Those NFTs seem to have accounted for about 136 of the 632 that I identified. What about the rest? How is that going to be resolved? So it did seem that you guys did publicly confirm that those initial 28 wallets did belong to every member of the team. Shortly after, we did uncover a couple more addresses, so that number came up to 37. So of those, there was about 600 something NFTs minted, and that's just the ones minted by those wallets. A lot of those wallets, there was clear evidence of buying additionals through other accounts with bots. I mean, some of those were the Alex wallets. How are those other NFTs that were kind of bought up by the team going to be addressed? I'm actively working with a couple people right now in order to tally up the total amount that's basically been bought and sold on the markets to try to get a true number of what we're looking like here.
Yeah, so I think we just addressed this about like how we're going to go about proper compensation. Again, it's kind of a complicated situation to figure out, you know, if this person minted on the white, minted this specific NFT on the whitelist, if it was in public mint, did they sell it already? Are they holding it? So what we're going to do is have a third-party auditor come in. And you know, do a proper sweep of all of these NFTs that are attributed to whitelist with the LuArt team addresses. And you know, we'll figure out a course of action. You know, do we return the whitelisted NFTs? You know, some of them might have been sold already, so like that might not be proper compensation, or do we come up with a dollar amount to figure out proper compensation back to the community. So, you know, you know, Deploy Dawn, I think you had a big part in this, and, you know, thank you for, you know, bringing some of this stuff to light that obviously needed to be addressed. And we can apologize as much as we want about the oversight and the things that were done, but, you know, all we can do is set up these proper new practices and, you know, work towards a better Luart in through this plan that we've outlaid. That's still an ongoing plan.
I think something that really needs to be publicized from your side is the different launch rates. It does seem that some projects pay a certain launch rate, some pay others, some get baited into accepting higher rates. Like, I know, for example, recently, I think Unstables took 7.5%, and I asked kind of how that played out, and they told me it's because they did a stealth launch with no marketing or anything, which is fine, understandable, that makes sense. But we do know the Luna Lions case, that was 7.5% as well, and I know the response on that one was because they started conversations in February and they had the old pricing. And I know other projects were around during that time, and they also did not get that pricing. So generally, how does the pricing work? And is that something that can be kind of publicized on the website for better transparency as to what packages are available?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're touching on kind of the same points, that this was a completely, like, this entire process of management between NFT projects and Luart was not being done the right way. So part of our plan is to redesign this, not only from the perspective of having more people in place to handle this situation of relationship management between NFTs, projects, and Luart, but it's also to, you know, make a stricter and tighter framework so that there aren't these missteps. You know, having stricter deadlines, you know, having set price schedules, having, you know, set services for the marketing, you know, this entire NFT management, partnership management department is going to go through a reorg. So yeah, we are aware that there have been these different conversations. You know, it happened with Anarchists, of course, and we're working to change that. So
I think the last thing I want. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Sorry, just to clarify the Luna Lions one. When they applied, the old menu, I believe, which was back in January, from December to February, something like that, there was like 7.5 and 10% as the rates, or 7.5, 12.5%, something along those lines. And that's why they received they took the 7.5% package with the intention of future mints, and therefore it was an agreement in place and we signed a contract with them at that stage for 7.5 for multiple mints. Hence, they also received that pricing based on the lower rate that we used to have. That's why they were 7.5%.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. But yeah, like that's good. That kind of moving forward, you guys are going to be a bit more transparent on that. I do know I did publicize some of the messages between me and Simon, where I've been telling him for a couple of weeks that to kind of get a couple of things in order on that side. And I was basically told I'm supposed to have to support him, and his response was essentially, okay, thanks for lessons. So it is evident that myself, and I know other people in the space, kind of been reaching out to try to have some sort of resolution on all this prior to any of this happening. And one thing I do want to clear up here is everything I kind of brought forward, it wasn't out of spite due to how our project was handled. I personally have nothing to gain from any of this. I was just in a very unique situation where I actually had access to the whitelist we submitted versus what was on chain. And that's kind of where a lot of this uncovering came from. And I guess it's good, like, that a lot of this has kind of come out now. And my whole intention on all this, like, I've neglected a lot of other work. I actually quit my main job today because I'm trying to go full-time crypto and to kind of stay better on top of a lot of this stuff. But I think it's ultimately I'm looking out for the sake of Terra NFTs as a whole. Like, we're still young. I'm kind of glad this happened now rather than down the road. And hopefully it kind of sparks a lot of innovation in the space to kind of have a lot of things a little bit better. And it does seem that even from like the Luart perspective, it does seem that there's a lot of backpedaling in some of these statements, and I do suspect there's going to be other things coming out from other groups that are investigating. So
I got a question, because you got really good job in our investigation process, and I'm just relying that, will you be able to continue this investigation amongst other projects on not only on Terra, but maybe on another ecosystems? Because I feel like from my perspective, it was very helpful for my company directly. And I think like it will be healthy for another one too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the time to go over anything and everything, but if there's anything brought to my attention that anybody wants me to look into, I'll happily do so. And I mean, even with like my heart's all in Luart, in Luna. So I'm basically all in on the Luna ecosystem. So that's kind of where a lot of what my research would be. But if there is anything else, yeah, I'll happily do so.
Thanks. Because it was really helpful for us, and so I could, you know, take the advantage. I could find the things that was missing in my company. So I'm very grateful, and I'm very grateful that you came into full-time crypto. So thanks.
Yeah. Firstly, congratulations on going full-time crypto today, Diploidin. And I think on behalf of the community, thank you for all the investigations that you've been doing. I'll leave you up on stage in case there's anything else relevant that comes up that you want to comment on. I'll pass over to Daftimus. Please come with your question, sir.
Alrighty then. Well, first and foremost, what I'll say is I've been kind of a hothead in the space over the last week or so, perpetuating the cycle of hate across both sides. But I would like to kind of address the community in general. And I do have some questions for Luart as well. But the community is young. And by that, I mean very naive in some regards, and very young in maturity level at some regards as well. People need to realize that this is not an isolated instance, meaning that this is not something that only happens on Luart. There are bad actors in the space across the board, and a lot of dirty little secrets that hide in the backgrounds that people don't want to hear about from the biggest NFT projects as well, and as well as the different protocols that launch on Terra as well. I mean, it's just a part of the game that we're there for. I would ask the community to have the same vigor whenever they're investigating that they've used in investigating Luart, that they use that same thing for the future and other places as well, to uncover little dark secrets that people don't want to hear about. But moving on from that, bots. Bots are going to be a part of the game. As we've seen with Ethereum and Solana, bots are there. But people capitalize it by creating a bot themselves and via an NFT that gives you a key to be able to bot Magic Eden. Unless somebody changes the game, I don't think that there is a way to be able to keep that to its rein that in a way. The only way that I can think of is be a whitelist token. That be part of the package that is bought from an NFT team that is launching on a particular marketplace. And I agree that there are too many marketplaces on Terra. Most of them have really poor UI or user experience. A lot of them have poor communication, or they just popped up out of nowhere and then sold back channels to another team. But I would really like all marketplaces to be as transparent as Luart has been up until this point. And I know there's been a lot that's gone on, and a lot of, I don't condone what they've done, by any stretch of the means. But I do believe that Luart can take, some steps. My question is, are you going to change for Luart? Are you going to change your standardization of internal processes? And maybe, as some other people have talked about, publicize your pricing packages. So, you know, making that step forward, it may be a little bit different for some people, and not all marketplaces even do that. We've seen marketplaces cuss out artists in the past, and didn't have all this hullabaloo over it either. But I would like to see, is Luart going to do something where it publicizes and is very transparent with its basically its different offerings, its different packages for different NFT projects that want to launch on it?
Hey, Daf. Yeah, thanks for the question. So in terms of the transparency around pricing, we mentioned before a little bit how we're just, you know, we're going to be completely overhauling the entire NFT relationship management department, and creating, you know, a tighter framework around how it's done. So there's not like, you know, discrepancy of who got this type of pricing, who got this contract at a different date, who got their whitelist submitted later than others. So there's none of that can happen. In terms of directly posting, being transparent about pricing, you know, I don't think this is a non-negotiable for us. Like, we definitely would consider publicizing our pricing. I spoke about it earlier. Like, at the end of the day, we're not here to compete on pricing. We don't want to commoditize ourselves. We're trying to offer a unique business. We have a unique platform. We're happy to do so.
Would you consider creating some type of whitelist token that is able to be utilized and essentially by proxy on chain serialized and given to the team? They basically say, hey, from the jump, we only want X number percentage of our total supply, be it 2,500 or 5K. We only want 5, 10, 15% to actually be able to be whitelisted to leave some for public mint. Would Luart look into something, because it happens on Solana a fair amount, where you can buy, sell, trade whitelist tokens, and people can buy them off the secondary market, and it kind of gives you an understanding of potential floor price action for the future?
I don't think, as far as me, just me speaking about me, we haven't talked about this on the team. I don't think the solution. Specifically, it's definitely an interesting proposition. Just to, you know, to reiterate, we're looking for the community support and finding an answer to how to go about better for this whitelisting issue, so that, you know, bots aren't as prevalent. You know, the issue is bots. Like, you make a fix and then there's a new bot. You make a fix and there's a new bot. So if there is a solution to stop the cat and mouse game, obviously we haven't found a solution yet. You know, we're definitely open to something like that. So,
okay. And just know that this next question is coming from the community. I know people are going to ask it, and Vice waiting around in the threads for an answer. My personal feelings aside, Tara BS Checker has asked if the CEO Luart is actually going to step down over this issue, because, and I somewhat agree, when it comes to a position of leadership and power, the buck stops with you. If your team screws up, no matter if you're there or not, me being former military, I've had many COs that were not even on board the ship whenever something happened, they were fired and relieved. Not their fault, but the people that they entrusted and brought on or put in positions of leadership screwed up, and they had to take that accountability wise. So my question is, is that going to be a discussion?
I think it's a tough question, and a community asked, and I will respond to it. If I started building Luart 8 months ago, it was zero. We didn't have anybody. We started as a Polish company. I learned people from my team directly. And we build this together with whole team members right now, around 28 people, even more, with contractors. And I think from my perspective, what leadership is delivering the product and and trying to deliver as good as I can. I'm trying my best to deliver. So if someone doubts in maybe not say doubt, like I can make the mistakes that I need to, you know, pay for it. But basically, the whole team was always my family directly. So I couldn't leave them and talk, you know, step aside when they're on the board, right? So they're connected with me and I'm connected with them. So I cannot rely on that.
Yeah, and I kind of understand that. Being in business myself, being a builder myself, I get it. I do. And I seeing something that you built from scratch, one misstep, and as somebody asking you to just walk away from it, it's a gut check. And I completely understand that. The next question from the community that I have is, are y'all affiliated with StarTerra at all? I know a lot of times across this space, people say, well, we don't, it's not this team. It's not that team. Well, you know, if you have a core couple members that, you know, were builders for X project and they decided to branch off and do something else, at its heart, it's still core team members from the previous project. So with that being said, is StarTerra attached to Luart at all?
Nope. They're not attached at all. Everyone knows that I'm Polish CEO, and I know a lot of people from the space. StarTerra helped us with IDO, with technical perspective that we got. So, it's only connection that we got with StarTerra directly.
All right, no worries. I'm third generation myself, so yeah, I understand. It wasn't about being Polish, like the bridge between StarTerra's core team being Polish and y'all being Polish, because I am as well. So,
yeah, I understand. And the thing is, like, people can think, but I think, like, the perspective is, like, we were looking to great partners and StarTerra delivered the product. The IDO that we did and everything like that. So services was decent. And in my opinion, it's only connection that we got. So I cannot say like we're directly connected or something like that. I didn't know even them like years.
Not a problem. And I appreciate you being open and willing and able to talk to us. I know there's a language barrier, so I appreciate it even more. I will say, you know, you got to give a little honey sometimes with everything else. For Luart, it's failures aside, the UI UX is phenomenal comparatively to other marketplaces on Terra at its current state. And I understand that there we are in infancy when it comes to the NFT space on Terra. So I want to be able to tell you that your UI is phenomenal. I would also ask that, you know, as a community, we hold these NFT projects to a standard where they disclose how much they're going to be holding back and ensure that it happens with every project. One last piece for Luart, I would really like almost a write-up whenever you start doing these community votes on NFT projects that are going to launch, basically some sort of like analysis or background of some sort. Not saying dox the team, but just kind of give a little bit more information so people can make a calculated decision if they're going to mint or not. And that's it for me. Well, thank you.
It's a great idea. And I think like it will be implemented, because I think from not only our perspective analytics, we will just publish it to the community, so people will be able to get better perspective on the project that they are launching on our platform. Thanks.
Daphnimus, thank you. And thanks for bringing some questions that I've seen floating about on Twitter. So good to get those asked and out of the way. Crypto EDV, you've been waiting very patiently for probably over an hour now. So thank you. Please come with your question.
Yeah, thank you all for having me on. Thank you to everybody else who's spoken so far. Been a lot of good discussion. Again, I just kind of wanted to address the bot issue that we came across. I'll be honest, it didn't take that much to kind of realize that there were a lot of bots on the network. Like, just using Terrascope, you're able to see things that get minted and then sold or posted for order to sell almost instantly. Things sell out within 30 seconds or less. And I think claiming that you guys had no awareness of bots on the network, whether or not it was from Alex or from others. I think that's, I can't believe that myself, especially just with the amount of sales that they have made and just the amount of the mints that they're getting right there. And I just wanted to see kind of like how much you guys were aware of bots on the network before or after you found out about the Alex one yesterday.
I mean, I don't know when the first bots, you know, were present really in the mints. We did know about bots before, and I think we had already addressed the community. After, I think Hellcats was when we were, or excuse me, Hellhounds was when it was really presented to us. And a lot of people weren't able to mint in the community, in the public. So yeah, we were aware of the bot situation then, and we were trying to, you know, we were addressing it already openly in the community, but it's I don't know if there's more we can comment on that. We reported that to our devs at the time, and you know, we were working towards a solution, and obviously this all this other stuff kind of snowballed on top of that.
your devs at the time, yeah, I guess it is a little bit difficult for other people, I guess, because the devs at the time were the ones running some of the bots, at least.
No, when we had notified the bots was when we were trying to work on the bot system. Alex wasn't the developer working on it. He was employed with LuArt about a month and a half ago, and that's when he stepped down, and he was working to transition with our new lead devs. When we started discussing the bot issue internally was after Hellhound.
Okay. All right. I personally think that you guys have been much more aware of these bots. It's kind of based on the amount of trades that they have made. It also, these bots have a very strong advantage in the Luart power token that you guys have created, which is supposed to give people a lot of advantages. That is very, very open to be gamed by these types of systems. I don't feel that that system would currently reward any regular users who are just using the platform from their homes, from their phones, because we're not going to be able to compete with the number of transactions that a bot would be able to.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that the current system, the entire gamification system and incentivization structure of Lua Power and Luart is needed to be addressed. And, you know, we stated earlier in this conversation that the new tokenomics is something that we've already been discussing. Like, people have raised these points, back in early March. That's when we were supposed to have a lot of these updates to the Luart token happen, and they didn't. And part of it had to do with, you know, that was when our lead developer actually stepped down. So there was a lot of delays. So, you know, slow trickle down, whatever you want to talk about, price action. It hurt us even more. And there wasn't the benefit being seen from the Lua Power side, which we obviously promised in our roadmap. We can all agree that this is something that we are going to fix and make better. The entire incentivization model and the tokenomics themselves. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that definitely does. I know you guys haven't confirmed the exact date that Alex left or when he chose to leave. Would you be able to say between which projects he left? I did see a new way that you guys started launching your contracts, starting with Skeleton Punks. I found the Terra address that's responsible for launching all of your official projects so far. And would that coincide with him leaving?
We stated mid of March. We can get the exact date if that's what's requested. But yeah, he sent his letter of resignation to Simon in middle of March. We might have some communications about it as well internally. So if that needs to be presented, we can.
No, that's fine. And then my last question. I know Aston in the past had mentioned using kind of fake contracts to try and get people, ones that people were trying to game the system were sending stuff to his fake contracts. I would like to hear from him to explain that a little bit further.
Yeah, so the false contracts thing was something that was informed to us by Alex at that time, that he was testing out these. This was particularly after the Looney launch, the first one where we did see instances of issues on our launchpad. Alex said he did implement a new so-called bogey contract system. I'm not technical enough to understand how the system works, but apparently it lets people interact with it. It looks like the main contract, and apparently you can mint on it, but it doesn't give you the actual token from the collection. That's about all the technical things I know about that. Yeah. Apparently it does catch people trying to interact with the contract early, but that's all I know.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, unless Simon, I don't know if you've got any color to add to that, but yeah, thanks for the question, Crypto ADV. Move on to Julian and then Wrecked Boy.
Thanks for arbitrating this, Ryan and Karma. I guess I'll just be cut and dry with everything. I feel like there's just been a lot of beating around the bush at the moment. I'm not really answering questions straightforward. Essentially what happened was insider trading. Like, let's just call it what it is. It was people inside of BlueArt doing business because they knew and got access to information ahead of the community. So why is no one stepping down, and why is the responsibility being deflected to, oh, we're going to do a third party audit? Like, that doesn't really solve what in any other market would be just insider trading and blatant abuse of power. So I just would like to know why there just isn't a real action that is going to be taken. If you guys can answer that.
I mean, if it sounds like, you know, we might have some kind of suggestion other than the course of action we've taken of letting certain individuals on our team go from the art. I can't comment too much on like the legalities. If, you know, if we're going to take legal action, that's obviously an open conversation between the Simon and the individuals. We let go the person, you know. It's a different conversation if you're not satisfied with like the statements that we made in our conversation today of how we went about this and our plans we laid out, you know, letting go of Aston, our internal investigation, finding who was responsible for such. That's the measures that we've taken. If you're suggesting something otherwise, you know, I can't really comment on such.
Yeah, I guess the next question would be if the community were to post either a DAO vote to remove the current CEO or to sell Luart to an outside bid, how would you guys handle that?
I mean, as far as selling it to an outside bid, it would be kind of a, you know, I don't know. It would be a very complicated process. Maybe Simon, you can step in for this, but this comes down to equity and ownership of a company. I don't know if that's a decision that, you know, can be held in by a DAO vote when it's those measures aren't even in place yet.
So, yeah, it's not a DAO at the moment. So if it's a purchase, yeah, it can happen.
Yeah, Luart is a private company owned by me, and basically everything that is controlled in the company is directly by me. So I will and the whole team worked on the position that we are right now. And the thing is, what we've built is thanks to the team. And I think like company and whole the structure is always the people which stand behind it, right? So if
yeah, but at this moment, the people that were behind it clearly broke community rules and went against what the original project stands for. So if there is an outsider that would come in to take over that team or to replace that team that was clearly not working for the best intentions of a community, would you guys entertain that offer?
I mean, we can't really get into negotiating like things as such right now. They're kind of, it's a hypothetical situation. We don't have a buyer and we haven't, you know, shared to list Luart as a company. So, I mean, if you're suggesting we do so, maybe that's, you know, different. We can open a conversation in a different matter. So yeah, like we completely understand that there were violations ensued by people who were employed with Luart, which is why they are no longer employed at Luart. But you know, yeah, it's a tough question if it is really a question or more of a suggestion.
I think like it's not, it cannot be addressed right now. It's the whole AMA should be talked with people, and that's why we are swearing. But I think like that kind of conversation should be step aside because we cannot answer for it.
You know, appreciate the question, Julian. I hope you appreciate looking from the outside here that they probably can't speak on legal issues and things like that. So is there anything else that you wanted to address, or can we move on to the next question?
Yeah, I want to know how they think that solving the issue is turning a one-person job into a four-person job. To me, it just makes it a one point of failure to 4 points of failure. Can I just have a understanding why that solves anything?
I don't think that like we're trying to say that we have the given answer for solving the problem. What we, you know, wanted to have this call for was to address the issues openly, and we wanted to lay out the plan of what we've had so far. You know, we'll have a thread come out that summarizes the plan that we've laid out. I kind of summarized it. I mean, it's been probably an hour ago now of what we're going to do. It's not just splitting it in one role into four positions. I mean, we're talking about a reorganization of an entire department. We're not saying this is the right way. We're not saying this is the wrong way. You know, we're trying to take a course of action to make sure that the mistakes don't happen again. And we're taking outside advice. We're taking advice from the community in all to design the plan that the community and us feel will work out the best so that Luart is better and that this doesn't happen again. It's kind of getting into semantics if we're deciding whether or not that's the right decision. We're not saying that we have to stick to that. It's like one of the options. We understand that the NFT partnership management department was overpowered by one person, and we're going to fix that by going through a reorg, and then, you know, several other things on top of that to have oversight.
Okay. I think we'll move on again. We've still got quite a few people lined up here. So, Wrecked Boy, if you want to jump in. So,
hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yep, sure.
Okay, perfect. All right, so I have a few questions. So, Jordan, you just talked about reorganization. With the reorganization, I'm going to bring this to you, Simon. You seem like you're not very hands-on. Like, you had no idea all this stuff was going on, right? So, I know it was brought up earlier about you stepping down, or are you gonna pull back, or are you gonna get more hands on? But that's one of my main questions. Like, for instance, Ashton was on.
I understand I will give you the perspective that building that such a thing and building that kind of of so much people on the board, because we don't have small group of team members that, you know, it's 5 to 10 people. Like, we got, you know, a lot of people that working with us. It's all my, you know, on me that I didn't have, you know, that kind of hands on. But basically, you know, I need to trust my C-level partners that they're working with me and they're reporting to me, because it's the key of building good structure in the company directly. From my perspective, I've took the, you know, the lesson from it that I cannot trust fully people that I'm working with, and I'm willing to change it, and it's my duty to do it and make things right in the future. Thanks.
Okay, I appreciate that. So I have a question for you in regards to, so I know Ashton was on the board of advisory for Soho. Is that a normal thing? Like, is that normal for anybody in your company to be able to go work for something that they're selling?
What was the question? Could you say that again? Because, you know, it's almost 3 a.m. and I couldn't get it.
Sorry. Okay. So Ashton joined Soho's board of advisory at one point, prior to me. Is that a normal thing? Is that normal for a marketplace member to become a advisory board member for a mint?
Talked about this. We mentioned this before. Like, this is part of our course of action. Nobody at Luart is going to be able to work on an NFT project outside of Luart.
No, I got that part, Joe. I heard that y'all are implementing that now, but that wasn't prior, correct? Is that correct?
I think it was pretty public that Ashton was working for several different projects. So
it's like, from our perspective, Ashton made mainly primary job in the world directly, and he was the strategic director over here. But advising should be only advising, right? So someone can be like leader or something, but can advise to help build better product. And I think Ashton wanted to did it. But, you know, the actions that he took with the taking some additional assignments was the another thing. And maybe Ashton will speak about this, because he knows the part of the deal.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe Ashton, could you, you know, reply to it and, you know, demand what is true or not?
Yes. So I took, as you guys all know, I took strategic positions within these projects to assist them with basically strategy advising during these periods. Now, yes, what these roles meant is I would go beyond the usual level of advising and strategy development for these projects. Likewise, like examples, you said Silent Solos. I was there. I helped them out for a while. I mean, our relationship isn't very good right now, as we all can see, but I did help him during the launch itself. I mentioned good words about him. Likewise, I helped out with Genesis Wolves, Joey from Exoterra. It wasn't always a lot of projects, as some know. However, yes.
You were paid by each one of these projects?
No. Some were paid, some were not. So, for example, Silent Solos, I was not paid by Solo G to do any advising. Genesis Wolves, yes, I was paid. Exoterra, I wasn't. Joey gifted me a one-of-one Exoterra. I mean, it's an Aston Exoterra. I've got will for it. But I think the likes of, like, Terrapins was paid. Skeleton Punks wasn't paid. I think Frex later on gave me a token appreciation, one of the Skeleton Punks, but that was when he was in charge, before the whole fiasco of all that came about.
Right.
But yeah. So the only two contract, not contractory, but two direct payments in, if you want to say UST or Luna payments, was Genesis Wolves and then Terrapins. But Terrapins was writing a report for them, not involved in the project.
Okay.
And yes, it is a clash of interest, which, as I've spoken internally with the team, it was a clash of interest, and therefore breaking company protocol as well. If it was advising from a lot of perspective, like we do for other projects, then that's a different story. But I went beyond.
You went above and beyond, right?
Yes.
Okay. One last question I have, and Jordan, you'll probably be the one to answer this one. The diamond hand, I think it's called diamond hand surcharge on selling the Luart token. I know you said you talked about like changing all that up. Is that still going to be in play, or will that get removed, or do you even know?
No, we don't know yet. The tokenomics as they are. Go ahead, Simon.
The structure of the NAGMI fee was to redistribute the tokens to the diamond holders of our token directly. So from the paper hands to the diamond hands directly. And we will stay with it to make this a sustainable level, and we will airdrop to our tokens to our holders directly. If our advisors and community would love to speak about these changes, about this, but right now we need to focus on delivering good product, restructure the whole company from the business development and directly things connected with it. And after that, we will focus on other things that needs to be done and to making Luart as an ecosystem better to whole community, right? That's why we took the actions to talk with you, and we want feedback from you guys as our community. So, yeah.
Okay. Rex Boy, thank you for the questions. I hope that clears a little bit up. Just conscious we're 2.5 hours into this call now. It's getting pretty late where I am. It's getting very late where Simon is. I think Karma's in same time zone as me as well. So if we could just try and keep it to like one key question per person. We've got a few more people lined up. I know that the Luart guys really want to get through as many questions as possible. So with that in mind, I'll hand over to Crypto Lolita. Please come with the question.
Hello. Thank you for letting me jump in. On at the beginning of March, I talked to Aston in order to list my project Handy Heroes in the secondary marketplace. Since there, I filled the form. He just told me that I was an inqui. After like 20 projects to list on the secondary marketplace, after 2 months I didn't get any more answer about this. I mean, if you don't want to list my project, just say it or communicate me something about more or less when are you thinking that my project can be listed there? Because you know.
I understand your point. Like from my perspective, we on secondary market, we are listing everything, trying to, you know, like we are open to list every collection that we are able to from the technical and development perspective, because some contracts and some NFT are different from another marketplaces. So we are not sustainable to launch them. But I think Aston, if Aston knows about this, maybe he will respond to it directly.
I minted on One Planet Marketplace. For example, the Curio Marketplace, Random Earth Marketplace, last like 2 days to list me only. Was make the apply, and 2 days after I was listed. I don't know if you need like 2 months to list a project.
Okay, so regarding the listing process, the way we've set it up internally previously when I was there is that it came on a first-come, first-serve basis. So for example, projects that have told us before are still being listed. Like for example, I'll give you an example. Like Space Loot informed us ages ago. And they're still not up yet as well, because she said it's a massive queue to go up. Whilst we also have, of course, the list, the launchpad is a standard one, or like the partnership we have with MinDAO to always list the MinDAO ones immediately once they are ready, because they don't have a marketplace. The queue, of course, I assume now it's probably shorter. People don't want to list at lower time because of what I've caused. But yes, the queue is still there. Your form is definitely in. I know for a fact your form is in that drive because I handled it personally. I'm sure you brought it up. I'm sure Jordan, Simon will bring out the devs to make sure that these forms are met. But yeah.
Just please reach out to us. You know, we're still getting on top of these things, the transition, Aston's former role. So just please reach out to me via DM and we'll set up a Telegram group.
Yeah, we are always to looking good people on the board, and we rely on that kind of feedback. So thanks for it, and if you don't mind, just share it with Jordan or someone from my team. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for your answer.
Yeah, don't worry. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. And next up is PBR 713.
Hey, hello. Thanks for having me on. excuse me. So in two different NFT project discords, I did proposals to have the collections removed from Luart just because of what went down. How or why should we even think about giving you guys another chance? How can we propose a vote in a DAO to remove the current CEO? And how soon can we expect any changes if, I don't know, if you somehow convince the community to come back?
I understand your point. From my perspective, actions have been taken. I immediately removed people that caused the problem. And it was under my eye, so I should be aware of it, but I didn't. So I apologize for it, but I did the actions. We step aside from Aston perspective, and that what he did with the Wildfeast process. As I mentioned before, I will fund with my personal money the Luart Foundation, that we will be able to fund the newcomers on our launchpad and NFT projects that they are on our marketplace directly. So we will help with the projects, as always, with the analytics, marketing, and even right now with incentivizing users that being directly on our platform. And we want to I personally taking care of what have been done, because it was under my eye, so I cannot push everything on my people basically, but I just want to make the truth that people from my board take their responsibility for their actions, and I made basically the actions to make improvements to my platform, because we built from last month was building. I was doing my best to deliver best platform, I think. From the perspective that we made decent job, I can say, right? So, but the mistakes happened, and I cannot revert it. So, from my perspective, I will do my best to speak with community and basically taking charge of Luart directly to help users on our platform to being join the community, join the trust again. I know time for rebuild will be long, but I think like each person should get another chance. So if you will trust it again, I will really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
I just have a follow-up suggestion. If the community does decide to continue to use Luart, I think Luart should effective like starting tonight, tomorrow, not collect any royalties or whatever it is, fees for your platform. That should either go back to the NFT projects that are buying, that are being sold, or, just non-existent, start working for free for the next year.
Yeah, understandable. But as you know, everyone from the company that we are working, we want to stay alive, and basically as I mentioned before, Luart Foundation that I want to fund is the kind of thing like I will pass a lot of money to build the NFT space on Terra better. So I just want to show you guys and, you know, whole community that they've been supporting us for the whole time, that we want to better, and we will make our best to incentivize users from our platform. So thanks for feedback.
Sure. I think you should reach out to community members, bring them in. We have some pretty smart big brains in our community that can definitely help.
Yeah, basically, I really appreciate it, guys, because that's why we wanted to speak with the advisory board, the projects that we want to collaborate with, and we collaborated in the past. And that's I think, like, we invited the natural personals, Ryan Lyon, Karma, and Bolin, and everyone from our community. It's the step in good direction, but they only will be able to decide about this in the future, that if you will trust us again. But we will do everything to basically back on track and you know, give the another way of marketplace. I mean, like, the another services that is needed on marketplace directly. So thanks. And I will speak to you soon with any ideas, maybe some AMAs, and talk with and communicate with the community directly, right?
I think it's a really great suggestion by PBR to have people, you know, I think, you know, you've got a lot of people working in the marketing department right now. So, you know, I guess I'd encourage those folks to you know, reach out to the various different communities and, you know, start working to build some trust back, because, you know, rightfully so, there's a lot of, like, skepticism from folks at the minute. So thanks for your comments, PBR. Dog, you're next up. I know you've been waiting a long time, so please come with your question, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing this AMA. Took a lot of balls. First of all, really great question on the advisory board, Simon. Normally a board of directors for a company selected by shareholders, sort of translated to a DAO setup, this would mean, you know, selected by token holders. Just my two cents, not really related to my question entirely. But I guess first, like, a really quick question, you know, like, if there was a vote put out, and let's say, like, 67% of the community says that they want to kick out the CEO, would you step down? Just, like, a quick yes or no to that would be really helpful.
Yes, as I mentioned before, the whole Lure team is, and me, is connected directly with each other. So I think, like, without me, Lure wouldn't exist, and likewise. So I think it's a quick answer to it.
Okay. All right. So my other question is, how exactly are you guys looking to improve governance? Could you sort of outline the next steps that you're looking to take? And are there any sort of internal controls or reporting requirements that you're looking into for your team? A comprehensive breakdown here would really be appreciated. Thanks.
So I think, you know, we've laid out at least the plans to make sure that these are done properly. We don't have comprehensive details on how the DAO governance is going to work. We don't have, you know, the framework there yet, but we've laid out a set of plans to help us get to that point. You know, advisory board being one of them, you know, going through a reorg on the side of NFT partnerships and development. But yeah, as far as that, that's all we can kind of comment. You know, over the last few days, we've tried to figure out at least the steps to get there. And we're trying to work with our partners, the community now, to figure out the best solutions to something like governance, which, you know, is very community involved, and the internal frameworks of, you know, deadlines, paper trails, you know, that's going to be, worked on from here. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thanks.
Cool. Thank you for the question, Doug. I've got no one else lined up apart from the couple of people that I've got on stage. So I think these will be the last couple of questions before we wrap up here. So Dylan, please come with your question, sir.
Yeah, sure. Hey, everyone. So I was just thinking, because normally the core team would get incentivized with, you know, guaranteed whitelists Now that that's going to be taken away and the core team is going to be getting paid from, I guess, the royalties, like Simon said, what happens now? Does the fee raise to compensate for those whitelists, or what are we looking at? Because I feel like working at the core team, you get those privileges of getting whitelists. Now you're talking about hiring on third parties and all this other stuff and bringing more people in. So you guys are going to need more funding. So I'm thinking, how are you guys going to get that funding when you got projects wanting to leave and my value for my Hellcats, Hellhounds, Rec Wolves are lowering in value because people don't want to be on Luart no more. They're trying to leave to other platforms. So it seems like you guys are always talking about giving back to the community, but you guys took a lot from the community and now you're only going to do an airdrop for the top 200 people. And you got about like over 9,000 people on the platform. So it's like, it's always like take, but never give in a way. So I don't see no promise with Luart because I don't see anything coming back. I just see people taking from us.
I think we can address this directly, Dylan. And, you know, thank you for raising this point of yours. You know, we weren't like our incentivization to work for Luart doesn't really, it's not directly tied to whitelist. You can think of it as it was a benefit, whether it be right or wrong. Obviously, we've come to the conclusion that it is in the wrong and we won't be doing that anymore. Some of us are salaried at Luart. Some of us have allocations and tokens, which just to make it clear, none of us have received said tokens yet because our token unlock schedule is 3 months after the IDO, or excuse me, the TGE. You know, in terms of prices fluctuating, you know, we've already kind of discussed proper compensation in a multitude of ways in this conversation, directly tied to whitelist team members that were whitelisted and purchased. You know, like, I think I'm pretty sure the best course of action is not having someone inside go through the smart contracts because that would be a conflict of interest. So hiring a third party would be the best route in to figure out what a proper compensation number is back towards the community. Now, is that returning these NFTs? Is that a dollar amount? We have to figure that out by an external audit of these past whitelists and mints. Now, I think Simon has mentioned a few times his emphasis on launching like his personal funds for the space, which would be a fairly large amount by any means, you know, directly support the NFT ecosystem on Terra. So while maybe it's not totally to satisfy like the price fluctuations lower and, you know, the situation with whitelists, these are the steps that we've planned to take. Some people that have advised us have said that these are good measures to take as well. You know, we want to work with community on this, but this is the plan that we've laid out, which we will again summarize shortly after this call. I'm with the thread.
Hey, sorry. And just a follow up, are you guys looking to raise a fee? Because I know across projects, you guys went to 4%, right? So, or what was it? Was it 4% now for projects?
Royalties go to the projects.
Yeah, 4.5%. I'm sorry. And Luart fee is 2.5%, and you get a listing fee for every time 0.20 UST, right? Are you guys looking to moving forward? Are you guys looking to raise that within 6 months to a year to cover your expenses because of what happened today? And that people would like to get more compensated more later on because they're not getting those benefits, like you said earlier, of getting whitelists and everything else?
From my side, I wanted to add, like, this money is coming to buy back our tokens directly, and we don't have any plans to raise it for now. Like, in my opinion, like, it's not needed. It's I cannot spell it. Maybe Jordan will respond to it, but I mean, like, basically, it's for a whole ecosystem of Luard. It's going back to community. Whole the if for example the Nagmi feed that we got is burning, plus it's redistributed to the community directly. The fees are going to the buyback and burning, and the airdrops that they're making for Lua Power leaderboard directly. So yeah, it's my maybe Jordan will speak to me about this.
No, I don't know. If you need something cleared up there, what he said, Dylan, just let me know. I know there's a little bit of a language barrier.
No, it's all good. I appreciate it.
Cool. Dylan, thank you. Oh, go ahead, Karma.
Yeah, so sorry, Ryan. I just wanted to close off. Also wanted to say it's getting late. I think we should be wrapping up. But maybe to leave on a note of action, you did say that you are going to be summarizing all these thoughts in a comprehensive medium, which I hope will clear up more things than your last medium did. And I just wonder if you could summarize quickly what the next two action points are that this community should be looking forward to from your end. Not promises, but, you know, definitive actions. What are the next two milestones within the next days that we should be looking out to?
So directly, we have to figure out which steps should be first, like in order of priority. You know, I think one of the things that we've already started working on is putting together potential people for an advisory board, which would be laying out, you know, a sort of application process to the community. And I think, you know, from this call, we can probably summarize that it's probably best to get the community involved in selecting who the key advisory board members would be. You know, we're searching for the auditor. If we find a third party auditor in the next coming days, that'll be announced. It's already immediate that teams will not be offered whitelist. We have to figure out. I don't know exactly which would be first. But you know, we can talk. Sorry, my.
No, I understand, Jordan. I'm not asking you personally to provide this. I think the answer would have been a comprehensive medium post and team project members / certain members of Terra NFT community should be expected to be reached out to by Luard to continue this discussion. Yeah, is that the answer?
The terms of talking to partners, that's already been in action, and then, you know, we've already planned to launch a comprehensive, like I was stating before, we're going to launch a comprehensive publication about this conversation and then the plans. So
all right, I will pass the word to Deployedon in a second. I just wanted to implore you to also include thoughts about the token structure and some kinds of compensation or incentivization for investors to keep holding on to your token, which at the moment is skewered as the platform is very heavily towards whale holders and doesn't actually benefit many members of the community in its current state. So that's just something that I would really like to see included in your medium or in your roadmap that I hope will be published with certain deliverables and timescales. That is all from me, and thank you very much for the AMA.
Yeah, we will definitely be addressing the tokenomics. I think I might have mentioned before that we have talking to advisors on that already. We definitely understand that the incentivization structure is not correct, and the tokenomics need to be addressed. Now, I don't think that's a small thing to be done. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves on the tokenomics, because if we want it done right, we need to bring in, you know, very educated people about, you know, DeFi tokenomics and an NFT platform. We've already seen several incentivization models fail over the last 6 months of this cycle, a year of the cycle. So things are very fluid. And I think that we want to bring in the right people to design it. We can put you know, that we are going to act on it, which we already are, of course. But I just want to, you know, set the expectation that the tokenomics model will be something that takes time, because we want to do it right to make sure that it lasts a very long time.
So we had one last question from Wisdom, who's on the stage here. I know there's a couple more people lined up. I'm sorry, I'm not going to let anyone else on stage because we need to wrap this up, but I think this has been pretty comprehensive. So Wisdom, last question for you, and then Deployed, and I see you with your hand up, so you're welcome to come and speak afterwards.
Hey, evening, ladies and gents. I just want to start by addressing, I guess, the community first, and I know Karma spoke a lot, and Boolin as well, in general, in regards to the general aspects of what's gone on with Loire. I think there's been some great questions as well. But yeah, I just want to say that kind of the corruption from Loire has not only damaged Loire itself, but also obviously has wider impacts on projects, and has shone an ugly spotlight on the Terra NFT space as a whole, which has obviously negatively impacted interest of members from other blockchains, which is obviously important because of the direct correlation with growing the ecosystem. So there's a lot of responsibility to take from Loire in contributing to the adverse effects on the space. But having said that, I think that the steps outlined so far from Loire in addressing this, namely kind of like the transparency of whitelists, disciplining the rogue members of the team, no team members being allowed on the whitelist, setting up an advisory board. These are great first steps, but they need to be actionable. And as Karma said, I think it's important. Obviously, it's late now, and you need a day or two at least to probably digest everything, get everything organized. But it'd be important to come up with a game plan and a publicized roadmap of compliance and governance. But I also just want to say that it's not just Luart here, and really it's a space as a whole. So it's kind of a fork in the road where it's really up to the projects as well and the community of Luna to support these new best practice approaches. Projects can choose to support Luart in this difficult time and contribute to the much needed change in the space by, you know, taking it back to their communities, educating them of these changes, because, you know, some of these steps outlined here aren't even done on other marketplaces. So supporting these kind of best practice approaches from Luart is essentially trying to support the whole ecosystem as a whole. So I think as much responsibility as Luart has here, it's also a responsibility if the projects decide to support it, then to really try and change the ecosystem as a whole. I also, having said that, I don't want to exempt the Luart team from fulfilling best practices. So I do think there needs to be roadmaps, weekly updates on all the progress that you're making. And with that, I guess I would just be interested to know, if you'd consider other sort of best practice approaches, which is, I guess, being implemented in other projects, not only in crypto space, but in, for instance, the financial sector, where, you know, there are separate funds that are put aside for whistleblowing hotlines, especially in, you know, crypto space. I guess there's a lot of friends who kind of get together, and it's a very close-knit community. So, I think funding a whistleblowing hotline is an important step. And also, you know, in the crypto space, people have bug bounties, right, for projects. So I don't see why there's no reason for why there can't be, for instance, investigation bounties, where, you know, some of the great work that, you know, Deploy Don and others have done, you know, these guys can actively look at new projects, new mints, whenever they have time, a whole collection of people who can read the blockchain and get paid for that if they find something noteworthy of corruption. So I was just wondering if you'd be open to also putting funds aside for things like investigation bounties and funding whistleblowing hotlines.
Yeah, I think Wisdom, thank you for the words and the statement and the question. I think this might be a perfect thing you said to wrap up this entire conversation. The short answer, your question is yes. We mentioned the Luna found the Luart Foundation, sponsored by Simon and his personal fundings. Like we were just saying before, like this is to support the entire NFT ecosystem. You know, we're doing what we can, everything we can as a team to respond with a course of action. If people in the community can see it through to support us through that, I think, you know, it can see a better day for the entire Terra NFT ecosystem. Like I came into this project, just my personal perspective. I've been a lunatic since February of last year. I saw all the NFT stuff happening in fall. We came in with the intention to make the Terra NFT ecosystem better. And I think too much of it, we did. You know, they say that Rome didn't take a day to build, but it took a day to burn. And unfortunately, that's what happened in this case. But I think that everyone on this team, we're also here, again, besides the people we decided had to let go. We want this project to succeed for not just us. You know, we want it to succeed for the Terra NFT ecosystem. And we're still, we've already laid out some of the plan today. We've answered a lot of questions. You know, we respect the people that have come out and addressed from the community the issues that were inside of Luart and made it apparent to us. And, you know, we expect more, not expect, wrong choice of words, excuse me, been talking a lot. We wish that, you know, this does continue in a sense that the community takes it upon their part to do better for the Terra NFT ecosystem. Like Ethereum and Solana have been shot down in many cases from a lot of different issues. And we have use cases to build off of. And we're infants compared to both of them. So while I think this mistake is very young, it's definitely a learning opportunity for everyone in the community. But, you know, we're trying to do our best to take a step forward. And if people want to replicate what we do, people want to help us with what we do, we are completely open in doing so. None of us would sit up here, you know, put ourselves on the stake if we didn't think so. Because we still want to see Luart succeed and the entire NFT ecosystem to succeed as well. So, I mean, I hope I answered your question. Might have been long-winded. I'm losing my voice a little bit as well. So, thanks.
No, that's perfect. I mean, I don't expect us to all be kind of singing Kumbaya around a campfire, imminently. But I think the words and actions said today are a great first step. And now I guess it's all about delivering on those. So on that note, I wish you and everyone here the best of luck with that. And I'll do my best to support the best practice innovations for the space. Thanks.
Thanks for the comments, wisdom. Wise words indeed. I really like the idea of like as you say, a kind of whistleblower bounty. You know, a lot of projects, you know, put up bug bounties, you know, maybe not so prevalent in the NFT space, but you know, maybe that's something that could be interesting going forward. Deployden, you wanted to, I think, a quick word before we wrap up here.
Yeah, I was mainly just I was looking through the Luart Discord channel, and someone did bring up a pretty good point. In the last Medium article outlining a lot of the different employees, one of them is a legal advisor or legal representative. I guess the question that they were getting at is, why aren't they kind of in here? Or if they have been kind of advising you, like generally what is their course of action regarding all this? Because there's definitely a lot of eyes on you guys right now for kind of what's been going on. I hear the whole topic of Simon stepping down and kind of going down that route. But I think at the end of the day, the community speaks for itself. Like if Simon doesn't want to step down, even if there is a vote to do so, I mean, ultimately projects are not forced to list on Luart. There are a lot of different marketplaces and a lot of different availabilities there. I mean, with the whole exclusivity thing not being a thing anymore. So
I think that's kind of a lot of us are kind of arguing for a lot of the same things, like step down. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of us can already just kind of force their hand in that if that's what everybody ultimately decides, if actions are not done internally directly.
So I just want to make sure you're asking if the legal representative who represents Luart is supposed to take action against Luart. Or not
necessarily take action. Like, shouldn't they kind of have been like, have they been helping you form your public statements in regards to all this, or what are they saying? Like, because clearly it's a lot of misconduct internally, and a legal representative in a company. Like, I've run numerous companies over the years, and typically the legal representative or the internal counsel is generally responsible for a lot of things going on and can be liable in regards of a lot of negligence. So kind of how does that work in this situation?
Well, I don't want to we can't comment necessarily on legal things if there's an... We position ourselves as a team. Like, this comes from the team. Like, we were not legal posturing. Like, we weren't advised by a outside PR person. Maybe that's to our fault. We worked on this together. We tried to solve the problem together.
At the end of the day, we want to be human to the community, and we want smoke behind the legal person that he will or she or whatever someone is doing in other companies, they're standing behind the truth. We spoke of
my efforts died, so Jordan will continue.
He loud and clear, Simon.
Yeah, but my AirPods died, so I wanted to say, we don't want to, stay behind the smoke. We wanted to speak with us as a marketing specialist, and me as CEO, and Aston that was previously part of our company, and we wanted to clear everything up and be as transparent as we can with all our answers.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I guess it would have been a bad look to kind of hide behind a lawyer of some regard. So, yeah, I guess that's fair.
Okay. So with that in mind, I just want to say a big thank you to, the folks that have sat up here for some time now, Uncle Davo, Karma, Aston, Boolin, and Deployden. Did you guys do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up here, and then I'll give the final word to Simon?
Yeah, just quickly for me, it's an emerging space, but I think transparency matters, governance matters. As Deployed and sort of hinted at, there are legal repercussions that come with these things. There are sort of representations made to the market and to community that are serious. I hope this is the start of an ongoing conversation in this space on transparency, on governance, on accountability. And I really hope that some of the great actions and suggestions that were made today get implemented, not just by Luart, but by the broader community.
I just wanted to thank you that everyone could join us. Oh, Sefi.
Sorry to bother you guys. I wanted to make one brief comment. I think in fairness to the NFT projects that are on the platform right now, who might be seeing, a serious drop in traffic because of this whole fiasco, might I suggest also, some kind of incentive program to consumers so that, people will not necessarily just jump on the platform to support Luart, but actually support the NFT projects that are sort of harmed by this situation, which we didn't really talk about much. Yeah, that's all I had to say. Just something to think about.
Yeah, just to make a point,
Sifi, thank you for jumping in here. Of course, you know, we've talked to a few projects already, and we're working how to like directly incentivize their projects. Maybe, you know, whether it's discounted fees or something of the sorts. You know, and also like part of the LuArt Foundation is, you know, Simon said that it will be used to purchase NFTs on the open market, and it'll be through partnerships with these projects to figure out the best way of going about that, which, you know, might put a little bit of more liquidity back into the system. So that's definitely part of our roadmap. And of course, like, I know you're very well versed on incentivization models and tokenomics. Like, you know, it might be a lot to ask, but, you know, we would definitely appreciate your support in, you know, thinking of these different methods and tokenomics and incentivization models. So thanks, CP.
Cool. I'll just hand back over to, and thanks for the input, Sefi. I'll hand back over to Simon to wrap up.
Yeah, I wanted to summarize everything that we've talked. From my perspective, that I just wanted to thank you, Ryan, Karma, and everyone that was able to join us today, because it was neutral talk that we could speak with the whole community and engage with them. We are taking full responsibilities that, and me taking full responsibility for what have been done. From my perspective, we'll do better, and we will try to find a way to gain our trust back. And thanks everybody to hearing us out. So really appreciate it. And I think, like, yeah, it's my summarizing. Thanks you.
Cool. I think couple of final points. So yeah, thanks for everyone who's participated. Thanks for all the folks from the projects that have stepped up here. You know, it's I'm sure it's been tough for the guys at LuArt to stand up here and take some really tough questions, and Aston as well, you know, takes balls to stand on the stage and admit that you've done wrong. So you know, respect. And thank you to the community as well. You know, I was worried that this call might turn into a bit of a slanging match, but everyone's kept it really, really respectful. And you know, I think that's a good way to move forward. So, thank you everyone for joining. You know, make your own decisions on what you've heard today. And you know, I really do hope that, you know, that the LuArt folks do follow up on what they've promised here today. So I guess only time and actions will tell. So thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was part two of the two-part LuArt Community AMA, recorded on Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Matt Lee packing up beats with the lights on. Pack tight, my song's blowing like a pipe bomb right on. When I'm reaching for the feeling, sitting comfortably between hell and the ceiling. Watching all the plates on the fan spin around. Never really all that good at finding out the middle ground. Living in a little town and that's how I like it. Delivering my sound, hoping y'all find it. I love producing beats, it's time consuming. Gives me something to do while my mind is stewing. Never had nothing to prove, just my love for music. For anybody asking why I do this, it was never really about getting rich and famous. I just like the feeling of getting played on a playlist, putting little pieces of me out in the ether, then see what comes back on the receiver.
You know, if you had all the money in the world, this is a good exercise.
Yeah.
And you can do anything with this money to, you know, to make your life easier. What's the first thing you would invent?
Like, just that thing. If right. Me tell someone my idea, how does I know they ain't gonna nick it?
That's tough. People usually do.
I get a little dizzy trying to follow the words around. Every time I close my eyes, it's like they're bursting out. Give it 10 minutes, then let's see who deserves a crown. And this motherfucker thinks that he deserves a crown. My mind be all like, yo, who's smirking now? I'm like, shut up, mind your own business, you worthless clown. And that shit goes on for like an hour. another fucking dumb struggle for power. I try to ask around why the fuck it gotta be like that. It do what it do, when it do it, it might be a trap. Skew what they view when the dreams, when they need a nap. Follow through with the fake news, getting these slaps. Oh look, we got another comedian. I smoke myself silly, now I'm all out of weed again. Trying to tolerate 2020, like really? Could this shit get any more filthy?
Never had an idea before. How does you know when you had one?
Right. How do you know when you say, wow, you know, for a business idea?
I mean, like, I, you know, had the idea of like eating chicken or
right.
switching on the telly or something, but I've never had an idea.
Right. For a business idea.
Right. Well, whatever.